representative of the German High Command and of Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe.
Passport to Pimlico by T.E.B. Clark. Dramatized for radio by John Peacock. With George Cole, Diana Coupland, Louise Lombard, Michael Maloney, and Joan Sims.
Listening to a selection of lunchtime music played by Les Norman and his Bethnal Green Bambinos. Tomorrow at the same time, it's Aunt Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry that's finished. Whew, what with this heat and that music? Made me think I was in a foreign country.
Well, you wouldn't like it if you were. Whew. You going to be at the council meeting tonight, Shirley?
Afraid so. I'm taking the minutes. I'll try and keep it short, Dad. Too hot for meetings. It says here it was 94 degrees on the Air Ministry roof this morning.
Oh, I'll keep off it then.
People are sleeping out all over London.
Downright indecent, I call it.
Anything about the bomb in there?
Oh, I knew what we already knew. They're moving it next Tuesday. It is now believed that Pamela, the last unexploded bomb in the London area, will be moved from Miramont Place, Pimlico, on Tuesday next.
We hope.
Oh, it's got to be. They want it at the library for the exhibition on local arts and culture the week after.
Exhibition? It's a pity the council's nothing better to do with their money. It's the kids they should be spending it on.
Pop into Frank's on your way back to work, will you, Shirley? See if he's got any cod fillets.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and I'd better open up again. Oh.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a little flame in your heart.
Vera Kipper's over there to wait for Mrs. White, Molly.
Okie doke. See any difference, Mr. Huggins?
What's the matter? Haven't gone off, have they?
Not in the kippers, in me.
What's all that oily muck on your face?
The shiny look, they call it. Do you like it?
Not much. No wonder we're short of fat.
Frank?
Oh, Shirley.
Frank, Mum wants to know if you've got any cod fillets.
I've got something better. Fancy a nice bit of bream for your supper.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's a treat to see it again. You know, my old dad used to say this was one of the most human fish of them all.
Well, if I was a bream, I'd resent that.
Oh, I tell you a most remarkable thing about a bream, Shirley. When he's courting, he grows a little white wart just here on his forehead. He grows that wart just like you and I would go out and buy a new hat.
Yes, well, I must be off. I'm 10 minutes late already. Library doesn't run itself.
I'll fetch it over later with a nice big piece of ice.
All right. Some people get jam on it.
Wrap this up and put it in the fridge, Molly. Here, where do you think you're going?
I just want to pop over and see Edie. Back in
a jiffy. Oh, Benny! What you doing with that wheel? Nearly hit me over. Stockings, where did you get it?
From his dad.
Came off an army truck, didn't it, Dad?
What? Off the back of a lorry, more like.
I heard that.
See you later, Shirley.
Oh, never mind there, Fred. Two popping wind on Silver Street, 13 to 8. That's 5 and 3 you owe me.
Heard about the bomb, Shirley? They're not defusing her. They're setting her off tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
Why, in our state of health?
They're supposed to be saving her for the exhibition.
Well, not anymore. They've discovered another last bomb. So 3 o'clock tomorrow, Pamela goes up. Spiller's been sent down from the station to warn everybody.
Haven't seen him yet.
Would I be standing here?
Have a change of pitch, bit of bad luck, eh? Cold cup day.
This one's me, Edie. Think it'll go with my taffeta? That check skirt I got up west.
Lovely. That should keep you cool. 3 guineas, dear.
Oh, 3 guineas.
I make it pounds, I mean.
Oh, tar. I've got 3 coupons somewhere.
4, dear, same as Bond Street.
Oh, go on, be a pal. I want it for Miss Pimlico night at the Palais.
Oh, that? Proper old fiddle. Always was. OK, I'll put it down.
No, look, I'll tell you what.
Morning, ladies.
Oh, Constable Spiller. All right, Edie, that'll be fine.
Well, and what have I been up to?
Make me blush to guess.
Well, it's no good you settling down for a mic. I've got work to do.
I've come here to save your life. They're blowing up that bomb tomorrow.
They're blowing it up? Whatever next?
You'll have to take a walk.
Oh, they couldn't make it early closing day, could they? Wouldn't upset trade enough.
You can't pick and choose with bombs.
This is no way to run a bank, Mr. Wicks.
Trifling matter like that, sir. I didn't want to bother head office.
Trifling? We regard it as a serious matter that a man in your position should make these decisions without our authority.
It's only short-term loans to local tradesmen, Mr. Fawcett, sir. This hot weather's hit some of them hard, and people round here can't afford to buy. Some of them lost all they had in the Blitz.
You won't put Britain back on its feet single-handed by doling out short-term loans to those who can't pay you back.
No, sir.
A sense of responsibility is a very excellent thing, Wicks. We quite appreciate that. But if we start giving a free hand to the manager of a minor branch, we'd find ourselves in Queer Street. Head office doesn't consider you a second Montague Norman yet, you know. And they like to have some idea of what's happening here. Now, is there anything else before I go?
Yes, there is.
Well, come on, I haven't got all day.
You can tell head office that me and my staff intend knocking off at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Huh? I made that decision on my own as well, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Seems funny, Arthur, having to come tell you about a bomb.
You're telling me. Took a warden to nose them out in the old days. They aren't half making a mess up of this one.
He really misses that old white helmet of his.
Good afternoon, madam. And what can I do for you?
Mum wants a mop.
What, another? She had one last week. What did she do with that, eh? Fetch your dad one over the ear with it.
What?
Don't say what, say pardon.
Don't tease the child, Arthur. Give her a mop.
Here you are. Yeah, that's 3 shillings and tuppence.
Cha.
Hey!
Mum says she'll be in to pay you tomorrow.
Little blighter.
Ivy'll settle up tomorrow.
Yeah, we all know about tomorrow.
There's another model you made, Arthur.
Yes, he finished it last night. I've spent half the morning getting bits of moss off the carpet.
Well, it's an idea for that dump out there. Give those kids somewhere decent to play once that bomb's cleared.
Sticking on bits of moss for grass? I don't know why you can't just paint it green.
It's got to look the part.
They seem to be doing pretty well as it is. Playing with wheels off army trucks now. Nothing but whips and tops in my day.
I'd have something to say if I was their mother.
Nice job you've done there, though, Arthur.
Oh, I don't know. Something to pass the time.
Oh, pass the time, indeed. Set his heart on it.
Oh, Connie.
He stayed up till 2 o'clock this morning getting it ready for the council meeting tonight. He loves kids, my Alpha.
No, this moss, you see, that's grass.
Yes.
We'd have swings here, and a sandpit set aside for the youngsters. And then over here is the old water tank. Now, it'll be quite simple to turn that into a swimming pool.
I think we've discussed this matter long enough, gentlemen. Yeah. It's time we took a vote on the matter. Those in favour of Mr. Pemberton's project, raised hands, please. And those in favour of selling this piece of ground. Oh, well, that seems to settle it. We've got to face economic facts, Mr. Pemberton. This borough is in no position just now to finance daydreams.
Well, that's just plain ridiculous. Don't you ever think of anything besides pounds, shillings and pence?
Well, if everybody is quite settled now, I should like to read this proposed advertisement. For sale. Freehold, valuable building land in much sought-after position.
I'm sorry, Dad.
What did we win the war for if it wasn't for the future? The future of our kids. The chance to make things better for them.
Full transport facilities to hand. Special appeal to purchaser of vision. No obstruction to future development. A thoroughly safe investment.
And half heavy for a wheel.
Oh, not so hard.
He's hardly touching it. Leon, let me help you.
It's too hard.
Through the wire.
Straight for the bomb,
that's
Daddy.
That's right.
It's going straight for the hole. Crikey.
What you been up to, you little devil? Little devil, that's what you are.
It wasn't me. It was him.
I reckon it was about 6 to 4 of him coming home in a sack.
Anybody hurt?
I came down on my funny bone.
Went right up in the air, I did.
So will your father when he hears about this.
Where'd they get that wheel from anyway, little beggars?
All I can say is some people are born lucky.
Come away from the edge, Arthur, you'll fall in. Arthur!
I'm all right, stop fussing. I got through the blitz, did... Oh! Oh! Oh!
What did I tell you?
Dad, where are you?
Are you all right, Arthur?
Where's he gone?
Would you think he's gone? Hot picking.
Somebody do something.
Hold on, here's a rope.
Is he all by himself, Mr. Huggins?
Are you all right?
Are you all right, Mr. Pemberton? Arthur!
Oh, I'm having a grand time.
Oh, don't worry, Mum, they'll get him up.
Have you got the end of the rope, Arthur?
Yes.
Right. Now keep back. Never mind giving orders. Grab this end of the rope, Percy and Paul.
Take it easy.
Stick to it, Dad. You'll make it.
Hold tight, dear.
Oh. All right, Mum, don't worry.
Oh.
Here he is.
You all right?
Bit as a fiddle, aren't you, Arthur?
Oh, thank you, boys. I'm all right.
Oh,
now, don't worry. Don't fuss. I'm all right, I tell you.
You've hurt yourself. You have hurt yourself.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
He's cut himself.
Just like old times, ain't it?
Oh, hello, Ted. Yeah, just like old times. You turning up when it's all over.
Now, come on, which of you was it? Come on, who was it? Which of you was it?
Charlie Randall, if the past anything to go by.
Don't you go blaming our Charlie.
It's always him.
He never touched that wheel. Wouldn't be your Monty, would it? Oh, no. We all know what the sun shines out of when he's concerned.
Oh, steady on. Steady.
Well, sit still then.
Oh.
Shirley!
Okay, I'll go.
Oh, no, that'll do, Connie, that'll do.
No, it won't. Stay where you are. Playing about like a schoolboy. I don't know why you ever wanted to go down that blessed hole.
I didn't want to go down the hole. I fell down.
Oh. Well, you shouldn't have gone so close. I did warn you. Who was it?
Frank, with the ice.
You didn't go to the door like that.
Yes, of course. It's the only sensible thing to wear in this kind of weather.
Well, downright indecent, I call it. Whatever must that man have thought?
Exactly the same as all the other men thought last year at Bournemouth.
I thought I was seeing things.
Seeing things?
Yes. When all that rubble and what have you fell on my head, I fancied I saw a kind of cave with a load of treasure in it.
Treasure?
Yeah. Goblets, jewels, gold coins and... Oh, look out with that water. You're getting it all down my neck.
Well, keep still. What's that?
What's what?
Something rolled out of your shirt.
It's gone into the water. Here we are. Did you say gold coin, Dad?
Let's have a look.
Oh, it's one of those kids planted a dud on you.
It is gold, isn't it?
Come on, I'll fetch a ladder. You grab a couple of torches.
Arthur, don't be daft.
Won't be long, Connie.
Come back. Shirley!
Shirley, Mum.
Your supper's just on ready.
You holding the ladder, Dad?
You're all right. Safe as houses. Now just take it easy. One rung at a time.
Oh, I tore my dress.
Oh, you can buy yourself a wardrobe full if I saw what I think I saw. Now, I wonder where it was. Sort of like a cave. Somewhere over here, if I remember. Well, the soil's covered it over.
Don't hurry up, Dad.
All right, all right. Shine a light here, will you? Now, keep your light steady. Oh, here we go. Oh, see that? That must have been a cellar at one time. Someone's been saving up for a rainy day. Look at all this stuff.
There's a coat of arms on these boxes.
Hey, look at this. It must be hundreds of years old. Hey, what's that?
Documents.
Ooh, they even had to fill up forms in those days.
Hello there.
Frank?
What on earth are you playing at?
We found some buried treasure down here.
What?
Loads of it, worth a million.
Nip round to the police and give them the wire. We're going to find out about a coat of arms. Meet you in the library.
The library's shut, Dad.
Right you are, Arthur.
Well, you got the keys, haven't you? Can't hang about till morning, you know. This is important.
Go back a page.
Yeah, it's the same crest, right enough.
Yeah, Shield of Pretence or a Lion Rampant Ghoulies.
Yes, just as I said.
Well, except that you said it was a mangy old poodle up on its hind legs.
Well, if you want to split hairs.
It's only me.
Shh!
I've told them. Caused a proper sensation. They put two men on guard over it. Found anything?
Plenty. Do you know whose crest this is?
No.
The Duke of Burgundy.
Who's he? Frenchman?
This chap here.
Burgundy was a country on its own in his day.
So what was he doing leaving his stuff lying around in Mirrorman Place?
Well, that's what we're trying to ferret out. Here, you can help. Here, take this. Look up Burgundy Grand Duke of.
Mirrorman House. This sounds promising.
Hmm?
Destroyed by fire in 1490. The property of Maurice de Charolais. Well, he's got the right sort of name.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Frank? If you find any mention of Maurice de... Frank. Really, Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry. But just look at this picture. Think of it. A saltwater fish that can blow itself up to three times its own size.
But don't you realise what this means? It's history.
History, my foot, Dad. It's money.
Get your standard. Read all about it. Boy's prank reveals ancient treasure.
And if we could just have one more. If you'd look this way, Mr. Pemberton, please. That's it. And, what are your plans for the future, Mr. Pemberton?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll retire. Sail around the world in my own yacht with a cargo of beautiful girls.
Look at him. Seasick on the Serpentine.
No, I suppose I'll get something out of it. I'm not counting my chickens yet, though.
Well, thanks for the story.
You're welcome.
Right, well, I'll just pack up and I'll be off. Gosh, look at this model aeroplane. It's smashing.
Yeah, it is. 17 and 9.
Put it down, son. Have you heard the inquest is fixed for tomorrow, Arthur?
Inquest? Who's dead?
There's always an inquest on Treasure Trove. The coroner has to sort out the different claims.
Oh, that shouldn't take him long. After all, I found the stuff.
But there were certain others instrumental, wasn't there? You've got to take that into account.
How do you mean?
Well, if my Benny here hadn't set that wheel rolling...
17 and 9, you said?
Now, Monty, don't you try and come it over me. You set it off. I saw you.
You weren't there.
Call your own father a liar, would you?
Okay, I did it.
Good boy.
Come on, Charlie boy. You can tell me. Mum won't be cross.
I don't want a sweet.
You'll have a sweet and like it.
So you admit, quite frankly, that the explosion of the bomb was solely due to this thoughtless action of yours and yours alone?
Yes, sir.
Well, after 9 years as coroner of this district, I find this a new and most refreshing experience. I congratulate the parents of Pimlico on such a fine crop of exceptionally honest youngsters. Well, that seems to dispose of the evidence as to the finding of the treasure. There remains one further important duty before the court. We must now establish to whom it belongs. I understand that the old parchments provide valuable evidence on this point. We will now hear the translation of that document from Professor Hatton Jones of London University.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I understand that Professor Hatton Jones has successfully established the original ownership of the treasure.
Yes, indeed. It belongs to the Duchy of Burgundy, being vested in the person of the Duke Charles.
Who, I believe, died in 1477?
If we are to believe Bassin, Reifenberg, Gollu and Schmel. In fact, according to all the major historians, he was killed at the Battle of Nancy. But with the aid of this most exciting document, I am now able to change the course of history.
Would you mind explaining your point more fully?
Picture a battlefield. 9,481 frozen corpses are all that remains of Burgundy's pride. The Duke himself lies slain among them. This poor, naked body, robbed by harpies, bitten by wolves, the visage battered beyond recognition. This they accept as the last earthly remains of Charles VII, Duke of Burgundy, last of the line of Charolais. Do they judge correctly? Is this indeed the cadaver of Charles the Rash? If so, then... than I am Joan of Arc.
I see. And then it is your contention that the historians were wrong, that the Duke of Burgundy escaped with his life.
Yes, Charles the Rash lives on. With the missing portion of the Burgundian treasure, he has fled to an unknown refuge. Unknown for 500 years, but known at last today. Nenamond House, Pimlico. Now, it has always been known that Nenamond House was occupied by a Burgundian nobleman styling himself the Count Maurice de Charolais. And with the help of this document, I now intend to prove that Maurice de Charolais and the Duke of Burgundy were one and the same person. For it is a royal charter, signed by King Edward IV, making the Duke not only a grant of Mirament House, but decreeing that the entire estate shall be recognized henceforth as Burgundian soil.
Oh.
Now, Edward IV would never have made such a grant.
But excuse me, Professor. Are you implying that this treasure does not belong to the crown?
Oh, no. It belongs to the people in the area covered by the old estate, since this charter specifically makes them natives of Burgundy.
Do you mean that these Londoners are technically Burgundians?
Indubitably. This royal charter has never been repealed. It is as valid today as on the day it was signed by the founder of the House of York.
Blimey, Spiller, you're a foreigner.
It would be difficult to exaggerate the enormous importance of this document.
The Navy Standard, treasure in Pimlico. Coroner's decision makes London's aliens. Read all about it. Pimlico Street declared foreign soil.
Miramont Place. Come on, step lively, all you aliens. Let the passengers off first. No more room upstairs.
You're going to Belgrave Road?
Hold on tight. No, lady. This bus is going to England.
Sorry, sir. I wasn't expecting you.
Wicks, it seems that my last visit here failed to make an impression on you. Or am I mistaken? Perhaps you did receive head office sanction to admit the press to one of our strong rooms and photograph you with the treasure.
No, sir, but it all happened so quickly.
You've answered my question. That's enough. I don't wish to pursue the matter. I shall have to advise head office to arrange for your transfer to one of our country branches.
Transfer? Oh, no, sir, I could never settle down anywhere else. This is my home. I've lived here all my life. I was born here. In Burgundy. You can't throw me out of my own country.
Don't be absurd, man. If you seriously think that an obscure point of law...
Obscure or not, legally this is Burgundy. Head office no longer has jurisdiction over this bank. This is my bank.
I reckon £2 will cover this lot of eggs.
Hey, how many in your family? You need 40 ration books for that lot.
Ration books? This is Burgundy, isn't it?
You still got that blouse, Edie?
Fiddling coupons, then?
Coupons? Who needs coupons?
This is Burgundy.
Now then, 5-2 full moon. Now then, come on, who wants a bet? The oldest firm in Burgundy. What's that, sir?
Yes, give me your export department. This is Burgundy.
Drink up, Mr. Wicks, and I'll get you another. Where's your patriotism?
Oh, sorry, but I've just been making a rough estimate of our national assets. Crowns and ducats to the value of £18,200. Pitchers, goblets and ewers to the value of...
What's ewers?
Mine's a pint.
Oh, yes, very good. Anyway, I estimate the total to be somewhere in the neighbourhood of £100,000.
That's about 1,000 nickel apiece, isn't it?
I'll send Charlie to Eton.
I'm going
to
have a saltwater aquarium.
Just a minute. I doubt whether individual claims can be made to treasure vested in a community.
Oh, yeah, I knew there'd be a catch in it.
Whatever happens to the treasure, that piece of land is ours.
Oh, I think I know what's coming.
Well, why not? It's part of Burgundy now. About time we gave the kids a break. We can have a go tomorrow. We'll start off by turning the old static water tank into a swimming pool.
Here's to the Burgundy Lido.
Hooray!
All very laudable, no doubt, but where are your returns? The real benefit to the community would be some scheme for stimulating local trade and launching new enterprises.
That's what I say.
Time, ladies and gents, please.
Yeah, what do you mean, time? Where do you think we are, in England?
There's no licensing laws here, my lad. Isn't that so, Mr. Garland?
Yeah, that's right. We close when I say. Well,
not even a music license.
You heard what the gentleman said.
Where's that piano?
Here, hold it. Now you can play, Bert.
Oh, he's better than Hutch. Much. Oh, Mr. Huggins.
What is it, Molly?
The music. I was wondering if you'd like...
Shirley, how about a breath of fresh air?
I think it's a bit too hot for walking.
I dare say you're right, Shirley.
It's not bad, that pot boy of yours. Yeah. He'd be worth 20 quid a week to you, playing like that every night.
Yeah, I'll put him up a dollar.
Hark at him! A dollar rise for the poor little perisher. Skin a maggot, you would.
Oh, you keep a civil tongue in your head.
Now then, what's going on here?
Nothing you can do about it, cock.
That's right, you said it right. You're in a foreign country now, yeah. Ted. Drink when you like.
Burgundy! Right, mine's a pint.
Spiller.
Oh, Inspector Battles, I didn't expect...
Clear this place. Go home, all you people. Spiller, you're suspended from duty.
Right, in that case, mine's another pint.
I'm going to take proceedings against you, Mr. Garland. Your identity card, please.
Passing of betting slips, strictly prohibited.
Come to think of it, I shan't need this ration book anymore, either.
Dad, what are you doing?
The stuff, scrap them all. Here's mine.
Yeah, and mine.
Stop it! Stop it, you idiots! Mr. Wicks, you're a responsible man. Can't you do something?
Certainly.
Right. This is a job for Scotland Yard.
Whitehall 1212, I believe, is the number, Inspector.
What a rotten song. What a rotten song. What a rotten song. Oh, what a rotten song. And what a rotten singer.
Question of Pimlico. No, the minister's out of town, I'm afraid.
Hello, Whitehall 1212.
Pimlico?
Burgundy.
I'm afraid no one's available at the moment.
Put this call through to the Home Office, please. Yes, Pimlico.
Burgundy, do you mean Pimlico, sir?
Clear the line, please. Priority call.
All lines are engaged at the moment, caller.
Yes?
Mr. Straker of the Foreign Office to see you, Mr. Gregg.
Right. Show him in. I'm still not taking calls.
You've been here all night, Greg. What's this Pimlico stuff?
It's top priority. The old man wants immediate action.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I thought that as the treasure was originally spoils of battle, I'd pass it on to the War Office.
They wouldn't touch it. You see, technically, these Burgundians are aliens.
Aliens? Well, then it's your pigeon.
No, they're undesirable aliens. So it's your pigeon... I suppose you'll have to boot them out of the country.
Yes, but it's their own country. Don't you see, the police are powerless, Straker. The police can't do anything. Burgundy is outside the law.
Wet market! Wet market!
Nylons! Genuine stolen nylons! Guinea pair! Fully fashioned!
Good morning, Mrs. Edie Randall.
Yes, you go, Barbie, it's Sunday.
Oh, special delivery. 2 dozen boxes export silks you ordered.
Oh, that's right, Burgundy, eh? Come on, let's have a bit.
Mind your back, Mark.
What are you doing? You can't park here.
Who says so?
Oi, you, get moving.
Why don't you take a running jab?
Oh, it's like that, is it?
Go on, you silly old slob.
I'll trouble you for your hawker's licence.
Oh, so you want to make something of it, do you?
Go on, sock him one, Harry.
And we'll see about that.
It's no use, Ted. They've all read the papers. We're lawless. Here's Arthur. He'll sort it.
Go on, get out of it. You're blocking the street. What's going on, Connie?
Looks to me like the annual outing from Dartmoor.
You can't you get them off the dump. We're going to start digging this morning.
Don't worry, I'm seeing to it. I'm just going to ring the nick.
I shouldn't bother. Look who's coming.
Ah, Spiller. Oh, the chief.
constable of Burgundy, isn't he?
Sir, about
you'd half better get yourself a new uniform. This here is out of bounds to the Metropolitan Police.
What?
Yes, Mr. Pemberton. Home Office has just confirmed what you were all shouting about last night.
Oh, it was a bit of nonsense. We'd all had a few.
Yes, and it's Whitehall that's got the hangover. So until they can decide which department is responsible, the police have been ordered to keep out of Burgundy.
And in the meantime, I suppose nobody cares if we all get our throats cut.
I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the position.
Ah, we're not having that. We've paid our rates. We're entitled to police protection.
Greg speaking. Who? Pemberton of Pimlico? No, sir, no. Nobody can help you unless you have delegatory powers.
Delegatory powers? All right, but in plain English, I am delegated. I'm speaking for all of us who live here.
But, my dear sir, from the Home Office point of view, you remain an anomalous collection of individuals unless you form a representative committee. Once you've done that, it will be a matter for the Foreign Office.
They won't talk to us until we form a representative committee. All right, let's call a general meeting and elect one right away.
Right, I'll take £2 if you can do this. Over there. £2 for the other one. Ladies and gentlemen.
We're all jelly-jelly-deals. Two bomb pit where you like. Now be not a jelly-deals.
Mr. Wicks!
We're having a meeting. 5 o'clock, my shop.
It'll be a bit late, I'm afraid. Open till six.
It's Sunday.
I know. I'm governor now. See, this short-term loan's local traders. If there's anything I can do to help...
Be in my shop at five, Percy. That's what you can do. You'll be there, won't you, Edie? We're electing a committee.
Me on a committee?
They might want to elect you. Who knows?
Edie Randall, MP for Burgundy.
Oh, jelly. Come on, lady. Oh, jelly, jelly. Best Danish. Do Bob give your old man a treat. Lovely lot of jelly deals.
Excuse me.
Your man is you.
These aren't Danish eels.
Oh, what? You think I cheat the public?
I know an Irish eel when I see
it. Oh, okay. Have me arrested.
All right. Laugh while you can. We'll soon have you twisters out of here.
Oh, yeah. What with your Air Force? You fancy starting a new country, don't know how to protect it. Oh, jelly.
Ten, 11, oh, one has enough, Pop. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17...
Oh, I think you're in, Lady Astor.
Oh, do you think so?
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26.
Right, that settles it. Mrs. Randall, Mr. Spiller, and yours truly. Now, I'd better ring up Whitehall right away.
Why? What for? What's going on?
They're going to sell out. Going to give the place back to England.
But Mr. Pemberton, just a minute. If you hand Burgundy back, they'll claim our treasure with it.
Oh, we can come to terms about that. The important thing is to get law and order here. Can't have the place turned into a spiv's paradise. Hello? Mr. Straker, please.
What about us business people? This is our big chance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in business too, aren't I? That doesn't mean I want to be murdered in my bed.
Shush, quiet. Hello? Mr. Straker? My name is Arthur Pemberton. I'd like to report that we have now formed a representative committee of the people of Burgundy.
I see. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I am in touch with Mr. Gregg, but a rather abstruse constitutional issue has now arisen, and I am afraid we shall have to pass it on to the law offices department.
Now, see here, sir. For all we know, that might take weeks. All right, months. Hello? Hello? Bah. Can you beat that? First of all, they say we must have a committee. Now they say it can only be officially recognised if appointed in accordance with the electoral laws of ancient Burgundy.
Well, that seems to settle things. Unless, of course, somebody present happens to be familiar with the electoral laws of ancient Burgundy.
But certainly.
It was the custom for the Duke of Burgundy himself to elect a council of two sheriffs, one burgess and one ooftman.
And what's an ooftman when he's at home?
The captain of the guard.
And who might you be?
My name is Sebastian de Charolais, and I come from Dijon, capital of ancient Burgundy.
Only the Duke himself can appoint a council, and as there is no such person...
Oh, but you're wrong. There is such person. I am the Duke of Burgundy.
No.
I am the direct descendant of Maurice de Charolais, who came here in 1477. Therefore, I am heir to the title. I hope you do not mind.
Oh, no, no. No, I mean, well, I mean, it's a bit of a turn-up, isn't it?
Here is my evidence. These documents have been in my family for centuries. I've always thought they were of no value, just an amusing curiosity. But when I read your discovery, I said to myself...
Yeah, I bet you did.
Of course, you want them to be examined?
Oh, indubitably.
Hello, Pemberton's. Oh, yes. What, can't he eat anything? Oh, poor little fella. Must be his heat. Yeah, all right, I'll have something for him. Send round the back door, will you? Thank you, goodbye. Dog food, Connie. Mrs. Wilson's coming round the back. Sorry, folks. Well, there seems nothing more to be done until this gentleman's claims are investigated. So all we can do is to adjourn the meeting.
Here, here.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm a great nuisance.
No, not at all. You may be the very man we want.
I hope so. Au revoir, madame.
Oh, cheer-ho, then.
Au revoir, mademoiselle. It occurs to me that I ought to know something about my dukedom. Would you care to show me a little of this new Burgundy?
Well, I could do with a breath of fresh air.
Alors, we go. So gay and exciting. So different from our dreary French towns.
Today, after reading in the Sunday papers that the laws of the United Kingdom cannot be held to operate in Burgundy, London transport officials have had to deal with crowds of cup-tie dimensions on all tube and bus routes to Pimlico. Here is an official announcement issued from Whitehall within the last hour. Pending the introduction of a new Act of Parliament, the public are earnestly asked not to exploit the prevailing currency leak in Pimlico and to refrain from entering the area. Should this appeal be disregarded, the government may be reluctantly compelled to apply sterner measures forthwith.
Talk, talk, talk. Why can't they do something?
It's the law, Arthur. What's right's right. Now who are you ringing?
Somebody who will do something about it. Professor Atten Jones, please.
Your coffee, sir.
Thank you, Albert. Pour it in, please. You know, your England is a most remarkable nation. Everywhere else, governments command, they scream, shout. But here it just has to ask people politely to stay away, and they do.
I'll just open the window, letting a through draft.
I still say a remarkable nation. Entrez!
Come in.
Oh, good morning, sir. I hope you'll pardon us for...
I am the culprit.
This is Professor Atten Jones of the London University.
The moment our good friend told me the news, I was Arian. I was Zephyrus. Nothing could detain me from instant communion with the living survivor of the House of Charolais.
You have examined my documents?
Oh, cursory glass. Personally, I have no doubt at all as to the question of your lineage. Forgive me, are you a bleeder?
I beg your pardon?
Do you suffer from haemophilia? When you cut yourself, do you bleed interminably?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, pity. It's in the family. Definitely in the family.
I am very sorry.
I don't want to hurry you, Professor, but I really think we ought to be...
Oh, quite. No, I mustn't embark on family matters or I'll be here all day. I have to take these off for a sulfate reaction test. I'll soon be back, though. Depend on that. Now that I know you're truly extant, I go away satisfied. What Galoo would give to be in my shoes. I could even put smell in the shade.
How long is this chemical test going to take?
Well, that's contingent on certain factors.
Well, please hurry it up. If things go on like this much longer... Oh, wait a minute. What's happened now? They're packing up.
What's this mean?
Oh, I don't know.
You'll have to take your place in the queue, madam.
What's the idea of holding us up like this? I've got me dinner to cook.
Don't blame me, madam, if you choose to go abroad to do your shopping.
Oh, sorry, officer. Constable.
All right, next lot. Come on.
Well, I'll be blowed. They've set up a border crossing.
Yes.
Well, that'll keep the spivs out.
Oh, Mr. Pemberton.
Ah, Mr. Bassett, good morning.
This is Mr. Bagshaw of the Board of Customs and Excise. He'd like to have a word with your people.
Ah, Mr. Bagshaw.
Mr. Pemberton, there's just a few things I'd like to explain, if I might slip over your frontier.
Oh, by all means. I must congratulate you on the speed with which you have... excuse me, Professor. This looks like the solution to all our troubles. This way.
In the line, please, madam. Have you anything to declare? Any foodstuff, livestock, linen or cotton goods?
Oh, I, hardly think this is likely to include the credentials of the Duke of Burgundy.
Would you mind opening that case, madam?
This really is a big relief to us, I can tell you.
Mr. Pemberton!
Fred!
They won't let us into the street!
Not till you show your identity card.
Excuse me, Mr. Bagshaw.
We haven't got our identity cards. We tore them up, I tell you.
You let him have it, Dad.
He's telling the truth. That's where he lives, right there.
Second house on the left.
Well, it's merely a part of the customs procedure. We naturally have to enforce the immigration laws. You can't have the one without the other.
Yes, but...
Frederick Albert Cowan, Esquire. That's me. Number 4, Miramont Gardens.
I'm sorry, sir. The order specifies that identity cards must be produced by residents who wish to re-enter the street.
Do you mean to say that all of us who live in this street have got to go through this customs rigmarole every time we want to leave our own?
Only for a month or two. After all, pending a new Act of Parliament, Miramont Place is technically foreign territory.
Foreign territory.
I suppose that means British subjects won't be allowed to spend any money here.
What about all our customers?
You can't stop us earning an honest living.
Never heard such a lot of rot in my life.
Please, please don't blame me, ladies and gentlemen. Edward IV, the one who made you foreigners.
Here we go again. You people make me tired.
Order, order.
Oh, shut up. Did you ever hear such tripe in all your life?
Now, look here, sir.
And you shut up too. All right, if that's the way Whitehall want it, in future... we'll be foreigners.
That's the stuff, Dad. We'll fight them in the tram lines. We'll fight them in the local.
Oh, good evening, Professor.
Oh, good evening, Mr.
Bassett's the name. Clerk of the Pimlico Borough Council.
Oh, yes, 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 of course.
The barricades are up then. Your friends in Miramont Place have got themselves into a nice mess.
Ah, poor souls. The innocent victims of destiny.
They started all this nonsense. Now they've got to put up with the consequences.
Ah, but will they? The Burgundians are a fighting people. Consider what they did against the might of Louis XI.
Well, I fail to see what this little mob can do against the might of Britain.
Mr. Bassett, you get up, please, Mr. Bassett.
Oh, all right, mate. I'm so sorry, Professor.
All passports. Passports ready, please.
All hand luggage open, please.
Time to make your currency declarations, please.
What the devil does this mean?
This underground train is now at the Burgundian frontier.
Ah, a fighting people, Mr. Bassett. Worthy successors of the Knights of the Golden Fleece.
Have you anything to declare, madam? Any foodstuff, livestock, linen or cotton goods?
Oh, no.
No muskrats, mealworms, motorcycles, hashish, prepared opium or agricultural machinery?
Oh.
Have you any foreign currency? English pounds, traveller's cheques, sir?
Suppose I have.
I just wondered.
No passage beyond this point without passports. All passports.
Here is mine.
What?
What is it, you Baratush? Baratush, United Kingdom.
Oh, he wants a visa. There you are, sir.
What's that? Pemberton Stores received with thanks.
All those disembarking for Burgundy, step this way, please.
Disembark?
This way, please, non-Burgundians only. Come along, come along.
So reminds me of the time I visited the catacombs.
Mr. Pemberton, this is preposterous. We're not even at a station.
Sorry, Mr. Bassett. We didn't set the boundaries. We're a foreign country now. We can't allow tourists without the usual formalities.
Come along, sir. Pass down the track.
Ah, here is the Duke.
Oh, madame, is it true?
Beyond a tittle of a doubt. Yes, gentlemen, you see before you the 18th Duke of Burgundy. Your liege lord, your sovereign. Sorry, I've become dear.
Oi! Stop that train!
Get to standard. Read all about it. Burgundy latest. Ministers recalled to London. Crisis meeting at Downing Street.
They're lucky to be recalled. We've never been away.
What are we going to tell the old man?
Well, after this underground business, I doubt if he'll give us a chance to open our mouths. Soap.
Were you issued with it?
No. I pinched it from the French embassy.
Oh, really? This situation, though, it's an absolute deadlock.
Oh, no, not quite. Now that this... Duke has been officially recognised. We can at least talk to them. Tull.
The time to talk's past.
any more talk, and we've had it. We've got to do something. We've got to tell this Duke where he gets off.
Oh, well, I hope the old man won't put me onto it. After all, this fellow's been a sort of king, in a way.
Yes, probably having his coronation at this very moment.
Well, why don't you loosen your tie, Your Grace? I thought you'd be used to the heat.
Well, it's never as bad as that in Dijon.
Oh, all the same, bet you'd rather be there than cooped up here.
Why do you think it is so much nicer than Pamlico?
Well, I imagine it's a little more romantic.
Oh, do you? What do you think we would be doing in Dijon this evening?
Well, we'd eat in the open and dance in the main square under the trees. Then maybe we'd go for a little walk up one of those funny cobbled streets to the castle. And when we reach the orange grove, we'd sit beneath the castle wall and watch the dawn come up.
And in the cool morning breeze, maybe I would put my coat around your shoulders and... Well, anyway, I'm afraid Dijon is not a bit like that. We cannot dance in the main square because of the trams which run all night, and we cannot grow oranges because it's too cold. And where the castle was, well, today there is a cement factory.
Well, it's just about as romantic as Camden Town.
Ah, but the people, they make it different. You should see us at the vendange, the wine harvest, when all over the country the peasants celebrate, and they are gay. Not drunk, but very, very gay. And, well, I suppose we would walk in the moonlight through the sloping vineyards, and we would come to an old Roman ruin called the Temple d'Amour. Temple of Love.
I see. And there the walk ends and I succumb to your gallant charm.
Oh, no, 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 no. Because my intentions there are most honorable, I would talk to you about my job at the hotel, my income, my prospects.
No funny business at all?
Absolutely no.
No?
No.
Let's go in.
Oi, you two. Hello there.
Oh, yes.
What is it, Dad?
Gentleman from the Home Office here to see the Duke. We're out the front. When you're ready. Well, I'm really glad. Of course, I always knew you people would have to recognise us sooner or later. Oh, here is the Duke.
Ah, Your Excellency. Allow me to present my credentials.
But I am not the ruler now.
What?
No, they've asked me to form a cabinet.
Oh, long live democracy.
Oh, vive l'Angleterre.
Vive la France.
What next?
Well, you will understand that after today's incident on the underground, His Majesty's government does not feel inclined to negotiate with a pistol at its head.
Well, now that we've come down to brass tacks, I can guarantee there'll be no...
His Majesty's government has a traditional dislike of unilateral guarantees. It has therefore felt itself compelled, most reluctantly, to close the frontier as from 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Close the frontier?
What about us?
A church hall has been equipped for the evacuation of all those...
No church hall?
Evacuation? What about our treasure?
Well, for the time being, that can be moved to the Bank of England.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm not moving anyway.
I beg your pardon?
If the Nazis couldn't drive me out of my home with all the bombs and rockets and doodlebugs, you don't catch me packing up now.
Yeah!
I trust you realise that the alternative is complete isolation.
Power politics, eh?
I have merely explained the position. I cannot do more. I do hope that moderation will prevail.
Moderation? He's an optimist. You're balmy, the lot of you. We've had a good run and this is it.
Well, that's okay, Jim. If you want to turn it in, nobody's going to stop you.
But we're not going to stand for that. You can't push English people around like sacks of potatoes.
English? Don't you come that stuff, Jim Garland. We always were English and we always will be English. And it's just because we are English that we're sticking out for our rights to be Burgundians.
Yeah!
Well, you've burned your boats now, all right.
I have. You haven't done so bad yourself.
Worried?
No, never felt less worried in my life.
That's right. We'll show 'em. Only what? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
The closing of the frontier at 10 o'clock this morning marks the deadline for the 19 families of Burgundy. They have the choice of accepting the government's evacuation offer, or of subjecting themselves and their children to the hardships of what would be virtually a siege.
Oh, hi, Fanny, now look, you big good girl for your mum.
Then he says his Auntie Flo will take us to the zoo, mum.
Come along, children.
Benny, don't forget to tell your Auntie Flo about your heat, right?
Now, Charlie, you tell the driver when you're going to be sick.
Attention, please. Anyone who wishes to leave this area has precisely 2 minutes in which to do so before the borders are closed.
Just a minute. You need a passport to get in here.
I'm with them, mate. I might live up west now, but I was born here. I'm a Burgundian. I'm proud of it.
Where's your funeral? Let this one through.
Well done, mate. The borders will be closed in precisely 1 minute. This is your last chance.
Save your breath, mate. We made up our minds and we're stopping right where we are.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you not to interrupt me, sir.
Thank you not to raise your voice to me, sir.
If I can't raise my voice in my own country...
We are sick and tired of your voice in this country. Now shut up.
I beg your pardon.
I said shut up.
Shut up yourself.
Bye-bye.
I told them, didn't I?
Oh, here comes the fourth programme.
Yeah, give us a glass of water.
Don't you know there's a siege, John? How much longer before there's no water, no electricity and no food?
Cool, look at that. Siege of Burgundy.
I'd like to see that.
I think me mum's in it.
Look at them pictures.
Here, how much money you got, Charlie? They let the Burgundians in free.
Let's hear.
No, I want to go in the front row.
What's wrong with here?
Nah,
front row.
It's about to start.
This is the news, presenting the world to the world. This week's exclusive camera report tells of growing tension on both sides of Burgundy's self-imposed Iron Curtain. For the first time since World War II, Britain's party politics have been forgotten. The nation's leaders have come together to seek a solution to this unprecedented crisis. Burgundy has enlarged its own Privy Council to grapple with affairs of state. Presiding over it is the Duke, who has decided to remain with his people in their national emergency. At last, after 500 years, Burgundy has avenged her ancient defeat in the bloodless Battle of the Underground, has stepped once more into the pages of the history book. And today, this newest brother of the world democracies is hammering out its policy. Under the inspiration of its ancient leader, Burgundy adopts the new way of life. Rationing is severe, and food from every home in Burgundy is stored in the cellars of the state pub. Food minister is Miss Molly Reed. Owing to shortage at the fish shop, she became a displaced person.
Perhaps you'll tell us something about Miss Ringstreet.
Well, it's ever so nice, really.
I expect you feel very proud in having been directed to be guardian angel over the national line.
Oh, yes. So, do you want to say that?
Many other changes have taken place inside Burgundy, not only in appearance, but also in the mode of living. Now that all food is stored in one place and mealtimes can be standardised, communal feeding has been introduced under the supervision of the Duke himself.
What's this one, Mr. Dowling?
Woof, bombing you.
Beef stew, after all it.
It is a great success. Continental cooking has so much more flavour. Commercial dealings have come to a standstill. Behind locked doors, Burgundy's Chancellor of the Exchequer is trying to solve his country's unique currency problem.
In a few words, one could say that too much gold is chasing too few opportunities. Would you care to comment on that, sir?
Well,
Pemberton and I have made up our early differences, and today in Burgundy we are absolutely unanimous in our resolve to keep our treasure.
And now a word from Burgundy's Prime Minister, Mr. Arthur Pemberton.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to say that after early opposition from the Pimlico Council, my long-cherished scheme for an open-air swimming pool for the children of Burgundy is, as you can see, now going ahead with a full approval of the Burgundy Council.
And so the glory of the resurrected state of Burgundy rises like a phoenix from the ash pans. But although this idea was popular in the model stage, the lunch whistle sounds a louder message than hitting the production target. The great drought caused by London's longest heat wave is the one serious threat to Burgundy's independence.
3-1 no rain this week. I'll give you 3-1.
It's me, Dad!
3-1? Come on, Mr. Cowan, I'm sure you can do better than that. 80-year-old records in lack of rainfall have all gone overboard. Water is cut off. But liquor makes do. So Burgundy washes up in a pint of bitter and makes tea with a boiling kettle of gin. In fact, Burgundians are spending their water like money. So this strangest of all sieges continues. A matter of principle to the Burgundians, a headache to Whitehall. But wherever our sympathies may lie in this cold war in the heat wave, whatever the rights and wrongs of the case, one cannot but say, plucky little Burgundy.
There are exactly 2 gallons, 3 quarts, and 1 1/8 pints of water left in the whole of Burgundy.
Well, I move we pass a law against washing.
What, in this kind of weather?
Oh, really?
You keep quiet, my girl. You're not even on this committee. Well, there it is. We must either get water or else.
We might make a sortie. Like my ancestor, the seas of Dijon.
Oh, the amount of water we could carry.
Why don't you use your common sense? They've turned off the hydrant at the corner, haven't they? Well, go and turn it on again.
Oh, that's my Connie. Ted, you still got your copper's outfit?
Yeah.
Then here's what we do.
Why don't they leave a monkey there in moonlight?
Just our luck.
Now, quiet as you can, everyone. Here they come. Go on, you two. Do your stuff. Good luck. Keep them talking.
I will do my very best.
Me too, Dad.
Bon chance.
How many more weeks are we going to walk around this barbed wire?
Search me.
What do they think this Burgundy mob's going to do? Invade England?
Oh, good evening, officer.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, it's so hot. One cannot sleep.
What?
You know, it reminds me of a very, very hot night on the Riviera. And there was this lovely brunette and... A beautiful blonde.
Oh, well.
It must be terrible for you, officer, wearing that thick uniform.
Oh, that's all right, miss.
Good luck, Ted. Your turn. Off you go.
Righto.
And lovely. Your eyes.
Your helmet. You've forgotten your helmet.
Oh, thanks, Arthur.
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, I didn't hear anything. It must have been cats or something. Do you like cats, officer?
It's all right. He's through the wire.
All he's got to do now is get that hydrant turned on.
Come on. Turn your blighter. Turn. Ooh, gotcha. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. What do you think you're doing?
You're drunk. Drunk in charge of a bicycle.
You're quite right, officer. I'll come quietly.
No, no, I don't want to be too hard on you. Just be more careful in future.
I say.
Go on, beat it, will you? Go away.
Why don't you arrest me?
Go on, go away.
Why don't you arrest me? This is a free country to live.
Will you go away? Look, haven't you got a home to go to? Blimey, a copper!
I think... Yes!
Done it! Ted? Ted, you all right?
And he just... I've had the blooming police after me.
Oh,
Well, it takes nearly 4 hours.
Just in time. Look what's gathering over the border.
Oh, the police, eh? Taking them longer than I expected.
Jackson and your men to the right. Brown, you take your men round the other way. Is that hydrant off?
Bashford's in charge, eh? Oh, they're taking no more chances.
See that it's properly sealed.
Well, that's it then.
Well, who cares? Last a month, this little lot alone.
Monsieur Pemberton!
Dad, come quick!
What?
Monsieur Pemberton, will you come to the pub at once?
What's up?
Molly tried to wash her hands when there was no water.
She left the tap turned on in the bar.
Struth.
Well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't know you were going to turn the water on again. Nobody ever tells me anything.
It's all right, Mole. It's no use trying over spilt milk.
Look at these crisps.
4 tins of Spam. That's all that's left. Everything else has had it.
I reckon we've all had it this time.
Well, we can't just let them starve to death.
We can't not let them starve to death.
I wish we could pass it on to the you-know.
Well, why not?
Huh?
Maudie, can you get me a line to Lake Success? Yes, Success. Hello? Yes, sir. What? Burgundy?
Oh, Burgundy.
Really? Yes, of course, sir. We can have a coach standing by for then. Yes. Right you are, sir. I say, they've had enough of it. They're ready to pack it up.
Statement to the press?
Rather. Fleet Street should do us proud on this.
Yeah.
Light extra, read all about it. Women weepers, burgundy totters, buy your standard, read all about it.
Today, messages of sympathy have been coming in from all over the world for the crushed people of Burgundy. Whitehall faces a barrage of criticism.
I want to see the monkey.
Tactics and clumsy handling by Whitehall officials of the Siege of Burgundy has left a nasty taste in the mouths of the public. Burgundy...
Auntie Flo said I could see the monkey.
Shut up, Benny's reading.
...has been bullied into submission. The British government's starvation policy appears to have succeeded as news of the probable surrender of the stubborn defenders of Miremont Place spread through the neighbouring districts. Women wept openly at the barricades.
Jolly rotten shame, that's what I say.
Yeah, starving people out.
Oi! Come and have a look at this.
What? I want to see the monkeys.
They're feeding the sea lions. Let's see if they'll let us chuck them a fish.
You never do what I want.
Look at that one.
That's it.
What's it?
Come on, I've had an idea.
Five minutes to go.
How do we go?
By the same coach as the kids.
Oh.
That's that, then.
Now I know what Napoleon felt like before Waterloo.
After, Dad. Oh, look, there's a bus stop in Alton.
Mum!
It's our Charlie!
Hey, Dad!
Monty!
What you doing here?
I'm sorry for you, Mum.
Hey, oh!
Ted, there's your Billy over here.
Yes. We got you some buns. You can stand.
Over there, look, they just got off the bus. Brought us some grub and all.
Yeah, but how are they going to get it to us?
Oh, Sally's here as well. I'll go tell Ivan.
Here, Mum. Yeah. We'll tuck them over the wire. Can
Dad,
coming over.
Tell us another, there's a good boy.
Come on, my lad.
Here, Mum. Catch him.
Oh, what do you think of that? Good kids, eh?
Being a good boy. Had a nice time.
Here, any of you lot over there got any grub? Keep us in business.
Hey, you, Mr. Jocko, I was about to chuck in
Get away!
Oi, catch! There's Cheddar and Pickle coming over.
Oranges, nice sweet oranges.
Love them a sandwich, Joe.
Oranges, come on, buy your oranges and throw the onions. Throw an orange and save them again.
I can't get it!
Look who's coming, Pemberton. The Ministry in a taxi.
Who cares now, eh? Catch hold of those oranges, they'll sell bruise.
That's right. Tell them what they can do when they're
out. Mr. Pemberton.
Hello, Mrs. Straker.
Your party ready?
Well, I don't know. Things have changed a bit, haven't they?
Don't say our journey is entirely fruitless.
No, you can take an orange back for your trouble.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We're always open to talk.
But we expected this to be unconditional surrender.
Maybe we have no powers to negotiate.
Well, sir, I suggest you come back when you have.
This is where we came in.
Back to Whitehall.
Today, Burgundy was bombarded with guns as thousands followed a toddler's lead in an effort to break the siege of Pimlico. Tomorrow, marches are planned throughout London, culminating in a demonstration in Hyde Park.
Hands off Burgundy! Hands off Burgundy!
Hands off Burgundy!
Hands off Burgundy!
I say now appeasement!
Hands off Burgundy!
Following the near riot in Hyde Park over the weekend and the stiffening of the Burgundian resistance, Whitehall has yielded to public pressure and agreed to further talks due to take place tomorrow.
Our Chancellor has a proposal to make to the British government. Percy? Mr. Wicks?
We are prepared to allow Britain to buy the treasure.
Britain can't buy gold.
Well, that's not Burgundy's fault, is it?
Well, if you're not prepared to meet us even halfway...
We're not.
The food you've got won't last more than a day or two.
Oh, no. We've had gifts from all over London. Molly?
Tinned food, 1,346 items. Liquor, 1,028 bottles. Fuel, 453 hundredweight. Fruit and veg, 2,634 pounds. Cakes, 363 pounds.
So you can op it.
We're even getting our milk delivered.
There she is, the old cow, right on time, bang on time. That's the old girl. Come on, my little lady, what a sight for sore eyes.
Up the express, Jerry. We'll go, oh, we'll go.
The Foreign Secretary, if he is aware that Britain is encountering severe criticism from certain quarters in the United States of America and from sections of the Soviet press who are making it clear that it is the high-handed action taken by him and his government that has forced the Burgundy situation to a crisis. And I would ask him, what does he intend to do about it?
I am indeed aware of comments made by certain quarters in both the United States and the Soviet press, but I am of the opinion that the door is not yet closed on a peaceful settlement in the Pimlico dispute.
But what does he intend to do about it?
Order! Order! Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Straker, Mr. Gregg, fellow Burgundians, Mr. Wicks has something to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I have the solution. I have a proposal to make. I propose that we lend the capital of our treasure to the Chancellor of the Exchequer, while the interest is used for the benefit of the borough of Pimlico. In effect, a Burgundian loan to Britain.
Ah.
My dear sir... My very dear sir.
A second Montague Norman.
Yes.
Welcome home, Burgundy.
We'll get the streamers out. Have another street party.
Oh,
dreadful how you're hanging that, my man. You will tear it. That was the standard presented to the Duke Charles by the 14 burghers of Bruges. I have assured the museum authorities it shall be returned undamaged after the celebrations.
I'll be careful.
Thank you, Professor. You got the wine under control, you two?
Yes, Dad.
I'll go find your mum.
Oh, she's doing the kids' table.
Now this, you see, is the real Burgundy. This castle on the level, it's 10 minutes from where we live. When you come to Dijon, I'll take you there.
Oh, I'd love to.
Shirley,
Yes, Frank?
Doesn't matter.
Huggins.
Molly?
It'll be sort of nice to be back at the old job again, won't it?
Will it?
Yeah. I'd almost forgotten what it feels like handling a lobster.
Remember one day you said you'd like to go to Billingsgate?
Yeah.
Take you there tomorrow.
Oh, Mr. Huggins.
Got our new Russian books, eh, Frank? Never thought anyone would be pleased to see these things again.
You never know when you're well off till you aren't. Everything ready, Arthur?
Yeah, shan't be long. Just about.
Do you think we shall get more than two main dishes?
Oh, I hope so, Straker. I haven't had a decent feed since that last deadlock in Moscow.
And in these last few seconds before your welcome return, I am to express His Majesty's Government's sincere appreciation for your splendid conduct of internal affairs during your temporary absence from the kingdom.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back in England!
In Passport to Pimlico, Arthur Pemberton was played by George Cole, Connie Pemberton by Diana Coupland, Shirley Pemberton by Louise Lombard, Sebastian by Michael Maloney, Edie Randall by Joan Sims. Professor Hatton Jones by Vivian Pickles, P.C. Spiller by John Junkin, Frank Huggins by Ian Redford, Fred Cowan by Jonathan Tafler, Molly by Teresa Gallagher, Straker by Gavin Muir, Greg by David King, Mr. Wicks by Matthew Marsh, Charlie Randall by Tom Bevan. Garland and Bassett by David Collings, Bagshaw by Stephen Critchlow, Fawcett by John Hartley, Monty Cowan by Paul Jenkins, Bashford by Jonathan Keeble, Benny Spiller by Ross Livingston, and Ivy by Linda Regan. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Passport to Pimlico was dramatized for radio by John Peacock and directed by Celia DeWolfe.